This evening's lesson is actually the first part of this morning's lesson, but I reversed the order for a specific reason. This morning we understood why God felt the way he felt. This evening, I want us to see how God always feels about us. Some say that it is more difficult for us today than it was during biblical days when God did his great miracles. But the challenge to that thought is that there were periods of time where God did no miracles. We come back to the book of Malachi this evening. We find that God has been unseen, even though we have heard from him through the prophets. Now, I want us to think just for a moment about what it might have been like for the people in the days of Malachi. Babylon had come in, and at around 586 BC, they destroyed Jerusalem and the Temple of Solomon. And even with the first return and then with Ezra coming to rebuild the temple was nothing like Solomon's temple. And we cannot find any indication of the glory of the Lord filling it. It was as if God was no longer overtly active, but used the prophets to guide the people. And he did not use very many prophets. There were a lot of spiritual ups and downs of the Jews. And yet, the more you read it, the more we also see how Christians have fallen into some of the same traps. Some have asked some of the same questions and also have been guilty of some of the same sins. Malachi opens in Malachi 1 and verse 2. I have loved you, says the Lord. But if you go back and you really study it extremely deep, you will look at the force of the Hebrew language, where God is saying, I have loved you, and I still love you. It is a love that does not end. And John, in 1 John 4 and verse 19, it says that we love him because he first loved us. And Paul would write in Romans 5 and verse 8 that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Jesus had told his disciples in John 15 and verse 13 that greater love has no man than this, to lay down his life for his friends. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, Jesus told Nicodemus that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So you see, God still says, I have loved you, and I still love you. And sometimes those are the exact words that we need to hear, that we are loved. When a person sees their own sin, or they are faced with the consequences, and it drives him to accept that his actions hurt himself and others, that person often feels despair. And this is both normal and to some degree good. They are like the prodigal son in the pig pen of life in Luke chapter 15, coming to their senses. But what I take from that parable is that this young man never doubted the love of the Father. He doubted himself and his own worthiness, but he did not doubt the Father. Paul would write to the church in Corinth about a brother who had faced church punishment because of sin. But he tells the church in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 7 to forgive him and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed with sorrow. God loves you, is my point. And He still loves you, and God will always love you. Faith and hope may end, but God's love never ends. The trouble is not with God, it is with us. When we feel that pain of sin, we oftentimes think that God stops loving us and we get angry. And oftentimes, the one that we are most angry with is ourselves. Some get angry because they think they deserve more or better, that their repentance should give them something better in life than what they have. And when they don't get it, they say to God, "But how have you loved us?" And this is exactly what happened in the days of Malachi. I think at one point or another, our children have said to us when they were growing up, and they lash out in anger and say, "You don't love me." And our parents oftentimes are deeply hurt by this because they know the truth. They know they love that child. But maybe due to some wrong that they have done, the child doesn't feel loved, but only instead feels the pain of discipline. Feeling loved is not the same as being loved. And that was the response of Israel in verse 2 of Malachi chapter 1. They asked, "How have you loved us?" To understand not feeling loved is, or knowing and understanding it, is sometimes a bit self-centered. It is a type of love about what do I get from you, not a type of love based upon mutual respect and devotion. But it does beg us the question, of how does God love us? I want to look again in verse 2, but I want to look at the second half and go through verse 5. "And God said, was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? And yet I loved Jacob. And I hated Esau, and I laid his mountains and heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom says, we are impoverished. But we will return and we will build the desolate places. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord has indignation forever. And your eyes see, and you shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel." Words like love and hated cause us sometimes difficulties. But what we miss is that God said nothing about their eternal spiritual destination. He did speak about His plans to bless the whole world, and in doing so, God chose one over another. God's love is sovereign. God is not required to love us. It is His sovereign choice based on His character. God is love, and He chooses to love us. That is part of what He is saying to Israel. It is a love of choice, and God chooses to love us, when He could have allowed us to die in our sins. But God's love is also unconditional. And along with this thought of sovereign love is that it makes it unconditional love. Philip Yancey's perspective in his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, he argues that there is nothing that we can do to make God love us more. And there is nothing that we can do to make God love us less. See, God's love isn't based upon us, but upon Him. He loves us. You can grieve God. You can run from God. But God still loves us unconditionally. And God also loves us personally. I do not quote Max Lucado. I think most of whatever he wrote is wrong. But he did say something that I do like. He said, "If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it." Imagine that. God chose Jacob over Esau. And the result was that God chose Israel over Edom. God's love is sovereign. It is unconditional. And it is personal. As a matter of historical fact, the Edomites never returned to their part of Judah. It was an area that became known as Idumea. In the 2nd century BC, they were conquered by the Jewish leader John Hyrcanus, and they were forcibly incorporated into the Jewish nation. The first response, my God ends with the word, "The Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel." They saw God's greatness, and so have we. It was the cross of Christ. You know, you can go all the way through your whole life and never feel loved. But there is one that no matter what will always love you. Always. And while we may be at odds with God a lot of times in our lives because of the things that we do, God's love never changes. It is always there. He is always available to us to reach out to Him. Always. And even if you're not a child of God and you have not obeyed the gospel, God still loves you. And He still wants you. And He wants to be with you forever and ever. And we all want to be with Him forever and ever. You know, we can live this whole life on this earth with all the ups and downs, with all the disappointments, but there will be a time in human history when all of this will come to an end. And there will be no more ups and downs. No more. There will be joy and peace, and it will reign forever and ever. And if that is where you want to spend your eternity, we encourage you tonight to make that choice to obey the gospel. Through repentance and confession and baptism, you can have your sins washed away and secure yourself a home in heaven. We will no longer have to worry about the cares of the life that we live today because our cares will be taken away along with our sorrows, along with our aches and our pains and our diseases. There'll be no more. And if you are a child of God and you had disappointed God in some way through sin and you want to make the opportunity tonight to repent, we want to give you that opportunity tonight because, again, God still loves you. He doesn't want anything bad to happen to you at all. And He wants you to be able to come back to Him. If there's anyone that has a need this evening, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.